Hi, my name is Juliet, and I'm the host for this podcast. I'm studying to be a rabbi, and I will be ordained by next January, God willing. And in Judaism, there's a specific portion or reading from the Torah or Bible for every week of the year. And as we go through these readings week by week in order from the beginning of the Torah to the end, from the beginning of the Jewish year to the end, we analyze the stories and we comment on them. Of course, connecting them to real life, to contemporary life, is how these ancient stories come alive, which is one of my great passions as a rabbi. I hope you'll accompany me as I tell these stories of Torah and of my life and the lives of others. And if you miss an episode, you can always go back and find it wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for coming on this ancient journey with me. And please check out my website, lenegditami.us. That's L as in Larry, N as in nincompoop, E, G, D as in dromedary, I, T, A, M as in Mary, I, D as in dromedary again, .us, lenegditami.us. And find out about the other things that I offer, spiritual direction. If you don't know what that is, you'll find out when you read it. You can learn all about me. And yeah, self-promotion, I hate that. But anyway, and please, even though I give these podcasts freely, it's really nice to get contributions, donations, very much needed and very much appreciated in any amount. You can do that on my website. So today, oh, wow, this was a hard one. Here it is, Friday afternoon already, and usually I get these done by Thursday night or early in the morning on Friday. But anyway, this was a hard one. This Purim, all kinds of things going on. And I just was thinking about so many things. So, and the main thing that I started thinking about, well, that I have been thinking about lately is, you know, the fact that I've been writing this weekly blog for over a year and a half, and there's something that's really been bothering me lately, and it's just been bothering me more and more, and I'm kind of embarrassed about it. I feel like I'm a woman. I should be more, as a woman becoming a rabbi, I should be more sensitive to certain things. I'll explain. Anyway, the thing that bothers me is the, you know, here I am, a woman becoming a rabbi in a very male-oriented, male-dominated profession. And of course, it bothers me that the focus of the Torah is on the men for the most part. And rarely do we hear from women and their point of view. And here I am as a woman focusing only on the Torah. And I have been feeling like I'm participating in and continuing the sexism that exists in Judaism and in our holy books. And I also have not, this is the part that I'm embarrassed about, that I haven't properly learned ungendered, non-binary, or feminine language for prayers. And it doesn't really matter to me personally, because I don't think of God in a binary, masculine, feminine way at all anyway. I simply translate it in my head. I mean, this is what I've learned from Jewish renewal. And you can read about something about Jewish renewal on my website, in the About Me page. I describe it there. I explain it. So I don't think of God as any gender at all. But I tend to use the word him when I'm writing, because I'm writing based on the Bible and how it's written, and it is gendered. But I translate it in my mind. I mean, he is a man. God is a man in the Bible, and Moses is a man, and we can't change that. Well, or can we? But anyway, I think of God as the divine or the source of all life. And sometimes I say that out loud, sometimes, because I think it's a better terminology than God, which people don't know what that really means. I don't think of it in that old-fashioned way of God in the sky, this old man in the sky with a beard. And so sometimes I say it out loud, the divine or the source of all life, but sometimes I just keep it inside of me. And also, the other part of it is that Having grown up Jewish but mostly illiterate in Judaism, I needed to start with learning the stories of the Bible. And it was hard enough for me to start with the prayers, where I had no Hebrew, you know, and just learning them in their original form, as opposed to also having to learn something else. It's like, it's really been a stretch for me. And I was told, in terms of my Hebrew, start by solidifying your knowledge of biblical Hebrew, because that's what, you know, people are going to know. Like, nobody really cares. Most people aren't going to care if, as a rabbi, or even going to notice that you don't, that you're not so familiar with the prophets or the Talmud. You need to be really familiar with the Torah. And so, taking that advice, start by solidifying your knowledge of biblical Hebrew. That's been fine because it's been part of my development as a rabbi. I had to learn it. But now I feel like I need to stretch myself. And I need to learn this new language that can substitute the old in order to update the orientation for other people who it really matters to. And I don't want, I mean, I'm aware that some people can be offended by the old language and they feel left out. And I would never want to do that. But then this year, I learned recently that it's the 50th anniversary of the ordination of the first female American rabbi, Sally Priesand. And when I heard her last Sunday, I heard her give a talk on Zoom to a community. And as I was listening to her, I had just finished reading the Parsha this week, Tzav. And something that had stopped me in my tracks while reading was that the males were allowed to eat the sacrificial animals. We're talking about in the tabernacle. We're still there. And it's translated, though, into English. It says only the males, like they add the word only the males of the lineage of the priests were permitted to do so. They made sure to say that. And it struck me as so strange that the text had to indicate specifically that it was the males and that the translation had to emphasize only. And I was like, why? I mean, why was there even a question that females from the priestly lineage would be able to participate? Well, apparently so, or they wouldn't have to say it, right? Which could mean that there was a time when females did participate in such rites. And in fact, it is known, I learned this in one of my classes in rabbinical school, that women had a much greater role in different times in history and in various places as Jewish leaders than we think. We think that women were always excluded, but that's just not the case. I mean, we have the most obvious case is Miriam, Moses' sister. She is definitely named as a prophet. And this is the root of the Kohenet movement. You can look that up, Kohenet.org, I think it is, to find out more about this priestly... Yeah, Kohenet.org, to find out more about this movement to make women Kohanim, Kohenets, Kohanot, I guess it would be. A Kohen is a priest, right? So to ordain women as priests. So the other thing is that as Sally Priesand, the rabbi, said, I don't believe, like her, I agree with her, I don't believe that God wanted women to be excluded or silenced. I believe this is a human construct. This comes from men. This comes from, it's so, like, used every day, but the patriarchy, okay? Priesand also points out that God introduces God's self as Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. I will be what I will be. This is when Moses asks him, like, what am I supposed to tell the people if they ask who you are? How do I explain who you are? And God just says, I will be what I will be. Tell them that. Which is a really strange answer. It's like, well, you know, what's your name? Like, who are you? And what does it mean? It means, as Rabbi Prisand explained, God will be anything that God needs us to be in any moment. God is constantly changing and adjusting to the situation, and God can be so many things in our lives. Which makes the whole male orientation of the Torah and of our prayer books suspect, of course. Meaning, which stories were canonized and who made those decisions? From Prisand, I also learned of Regina Jonas. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Regina probably is German. Anyway, not probably, she was German. She was the actual first modern ordained female rabbi. She was born and educated in Berlin in the 1920s, and she ended up being murdered in along with her community at Auschwitz. And I'd never heard of her, and I thought, I wonder why. And I thought of Janusz Korczak. I don't know if you've heard of him. You can look him up. A Polish, I learned of him when I was a child. This famous Polish children's writer, doctor. He started an orphanage later on. He was the headmaster of this orphanage. And when the Nazis came for them and brought them to the Warsaw Ghetto, he went with them. He was given several opportunities to escape and to leave the children behind and survive. But he made the decision to stay with these young orphans as they were taken to Treblinka to be murdered along with them, despite the opportunities to escape. And I mean, what an amazing man, right? But I was asking myself, was Korczak more famous because he was a male or because he was first a children's writer and a doctor? I mean, let's be real. Without a doubt, it's safe to say that it was and is easier to become famous as a male for doing things like they did. We're less surprised and touched when a woman chooses to do the, quote, motherly thing of caretaking and accompanying. So I don't know exactly. I heard that Jonas chose to go with her community and that she also had the opportunity to escape. I'm not entirely sure of that, but you can look her up. It's J-O-N-A-S. Regina, Regina, R-E-G-I-N-A, Jonas is the way it's written, J-O-N-A-S. You can look her up and learn about her. But, you know, maybe people are like, well, that's what women do, you know, and she continued to preach and to support her community in the camps. And so when a man chooses to do something like that, it's like, oh, wow, that's so amazing. Like, why are we so surprised? Human beings are human beings, you know, and he obviously had a lot of love in his heart, and so did she. But we never heard about her. We haven't heard about her, but we have heard a lot about him. And both Prisand and Jonas had a hell of a time becoming recognized as legitimate rabbis or even as worthy of being ordained. I mean, the fights that they had to put up to be ordained simply because they were female. So it's likely that we wouldn't hear as much about them. So I was asking myself this question, and I am asking myself this question. How do I proceed at this point with my writing now that I am better schooled in Hebrew and the Torah? I know what my next stretch is, but I'm not sure exactly how that will manifest. I feel a little impatient with myself. And speaking of patience, in the Zoom meeting, Prisand was asked to talk about patience as a woman and how to remain so in today's world, with all the changes we feel we should have seen by now. And this question came from a person who was part of the LGBTQ community, and she wanted to know how do we find more patience, and should we be patient? And for sure, as women, we are used to being asked to be patient. Patience is a virtue, they say. And yes, we often feel that there's no time for patience. Our patience is running thin, not just as women, but as humans, no matter what our label is, no matter how we label ourselves, male, female, trans, you know, gay, whatever. As part of the human race, we are running thin on patience because we want to see a world that's improving and not falling backwards. And that's what it feels like we're seeing so much of, just falling backwards. Like, why are we going backwards? Yet again, in a sense, patience, like love, is something we must have. And Prezant says that. Because without it, we lose our humanity. Without love, without patience. I was listening to Krista Tippett. Many of you know that she's one of my favorites. On I love her show, On Being. And she was replaying an interview with Thich Nhat Hanh from, I think it's 2003. You can find it on Being. And she was talking to him about this problem. He died recently at the age of 95, and that's why she was replaying. And here was a man so incredible who had compassion and forgiveness for the American soldiers who were responsible for so much death in his home country of Vietnam. He said that violence cannot end violence. Only compassion and understanding can do that. He said listening deeply can do that. He said removing wrong perceptions is what will end war and terrorism. We need to be able to talk to each other, he said. Restoring communication is what will create peace. Well, Krista Tippett asked him, like, well, you know, people who hold the power, they would say, we can't wait for communication to happen. We don't have time for that. We don't have, there is no such thing. There's no time. But the question is there an alternative? I mean, that's kind of what Thich Nhat Hanh was saying. The war in Iraq was based on wrong perceptions. He talks about that. This is an old interview. We got caught in Iraq and Afghanistan for 20 years as a result. And the question remains, what will happen in Ukraine? So Thich Nhat Hanh says, you have the right to be angry. Because Krista Tippett said, like, well, people get angry. We're angry about what's going on in the world. And he said, you have the right to be angry, but you don't have the right not to practice in order to transform your anger. And then he said, you have the right to make mistakes, but you don't have the right to continue making the same mistakes. You have to learn from the mistakes. He also pointed out that the U.S. created more terrorism in the Middle East through our war against terrorism. And I would say that, the same was true for Vietnam. And they were fighting communism. They created more communism. Whether we like the idea of communism or not is not the issue. If you fight with something with the same thing, then you're going to create more of it. I mean, look at our world today. How much more terrorism is there in the world since the Iraq War? So it follows that having less patience will not create faster change. I'm going to say that again. Having less patience will not create faster change. Yesterday was Purim, and on Purim, you're supposed to turn everything on its head. You get so drunk, this is the mandate, this is the mitzvah. You get so drunk that you can't tell your friend from your enemy. You turn everything upside down. And then it made me think of, well, Beit Torah Ta. You can look them up also. Beit Torah Ta. Beit Torah Ta. Her Torah. There's this group of women. It's BeitTorahTa.org, I believe. They're rewriting the entire Torah by feminizing all the masculine characters and language, and they're masculinizing all the feminine. And it's a fascinating practice because when you read it with the changes, it doesn't give you what you expect. That was really shocking to me. it doesn't actually solve any of the problems of oppression and domination. You realize once you listen to it again, I mean, this is what happened to me, you realize how disturbing it is now that the women are the rapists and the warriors and the men are the raped and the murdered. I mean, you're like, is this what we really want? To simply turn the tables? That's not the kind of world that we're working towards. We don't want that if it's the same old empire under a different name, like Putin identifying with Soviet monarchs just as much as with the old Russian czars. What's the difference? So what do we do? Well, I think we focus on love. Like Thich Nhat Hanh would say, we focus on sending love, on nourishing, on building, on feeding and caring for others, even for our enemies. That's what Thich Nhat Hanh lived by. That's what he said. Believed it deeply. And many people would say, oh, well, this is women's work. But again, we don't need to define it that way because both men and women are capable of the same. What we're trying to do is build a world that is non-binary, that does not differentiate between women's and men's domains, that acknowledges that all humans are capable of nurturing and caring. That's true of animals too, come to think of it. So this time around, let's really turn everything on its head. Because only then will we overcome this world dominated by war and hatred. We are, as a friend said, in the death throes of the patriarchy, which would make anyone impatient, but we can still make a different choice. Instead of reacting and smashing things, let's practice love and patience, all of us, for everyone. And let us say, Amen. And good Shabbos. And happy Purim. See you next week. Thanks for being here with me.